it live. It's Brittany Witch.
Oh, I found it. Here it is.
Yeah.
I found it. Here it is.
It's Brittany Witch.
Season 20, off to a great start here on My Talk 107.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Okay, that picture you guys posted on your Insta for 19 years in the biz.
Oh, for Mark Greasy.
I couldn't even. I just wrote hashtag icons because you guys, I mean, and if anyone follows them on anything, when are you going to, like, you guys look exactly the same.
Oh,
but like,
that's what everybody says.
Buttoning.
I know.
I said that to my wife last night. And I think it was my mom that said it. I was like, hey, yeah, she's like, how's the Lori and Julia show? That was your last day with them, right? And I'm like, well, kind of, but I'm like, it was their 19th anniversary. It was a big deal. She's like, 19 years? When did they start? When they were 12? So, good job, ladies. You're doing something right. Hey,
well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Crutchfield. Shout out to you.
Yeah, no, it's wild, because there's a lot of photos, you know, of you guys with, you know, the big wigs around.
Oh, various
the studio.
Hairdos.
And,
various
yeah, hairdos. I would say, I'm not trying to shade past either of you, but I'd say the big thing is you guys got better at epic clothes and epic hairdos.
Yes.
Like, and that's why
we
I'm like
raw and rough at the beginning.
You were, and you know, there is something to that is also quite beautiful. But yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, speaking of beautiful, so I can't remember if this was on GMA or the Today Show, and it was because graduations and proms are happening this year. You know, they're happening in person and people are like so happy. And so this is a North Carolina principal who breaks into song to sing to his graduates. Here we go.
A North Carolina principal had a special message for his graduating class. Listen to Marcus Goss send them off with a little Whitney Houston.
Oh. Out in the graduates and family. I mean, isn't that incredible?
Could you imagine that going down at your school?
At your high school graduation.
I thought when I saw the Whitney Houston headline, it was going to be, I believe the children are our future.
Oh, no, that
because
was
when I graduated in 1990, that was the song.
Oh. Oh, that was even better, you know, just starting right there, a cappella, and then bam, boom.
I mean, I'd be high-fiving strangers in that audience.
So, so unbelievable. So, anyway, yeah, that was, or it was CBS this morning, and that was really great. And then also the Pulitzer Prizes were handed out today, or people were recognized newspapers. And so it's the most prestigious award in journalism.
Yeah.
And Star Tribune won a Pulitzer. Pretty amazing for breaking news reporting. So The two high ones are public service and then investigative reporting and then breaking news. So the Star Tribune got breaking news. Obviously, all the George Floyd, the coverage was amazing and the reporting was continual and constant. Yeah. I would even say even all the news stations here in the Twin Cities, I mean, were really incredible with their reporting.
Yes, absolutely.
And then public service, the New York Times won a Pulitzer for their coronavirus and pandemic reporting.
Yeah.
And Rocco, remember we had the author on a couple of weeks ago who, what she does for the New York Times is puts the graphs together.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
That the New York Times had every day, and almost every paper in the country picked that up and carried it
because
it was kind of a whole snapshot of the U.S. And then investigative reporting was four specific reporters from the Boston Globe. And then a special citation was given for Darnella Frazier, who's the young woman who filmed the entirety of George Floyd's murder. And it's just a special citation recognizing her for courageously recording the video. And it spurred protests around the world and highlighted the crucial role of citizens in journalists. Citizen journalism, if you will.
It is so, when you think about how much that video had an impact to the extent it's like that's a great award and absolutely deserved.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
That she didn't turn it off or turn away or anything, you know, that having all of that, because, I mean, without that, would he have been convicted? You know, who knows?
But yeah.
Anyway, so Star Tribune, that's really good.
That's so cool.
That's very, I mean,
it feels, yeah, well-deserved.
Yeah, yeah. And what else do we, and then we have posted an homage. Do you guys like Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
Kind of get a kick out of him.
Yeah.
There's just something.
There's something about him.
He's an eternally cool cat.
And it just feels like he'd be the type that, like, you'd be at a party and he would just walk by and say something that would, like, stick with you for the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, if I was ever, I would have to know what went down the night of Natalie Wood. And, you know, because he was on the boat with Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood. You know that.
You would, that would be your, how would you start out that conversation? I'm Christopher Walken. Hey, Laurie.
Did you remember anything that happened that night?
Oh, my God.
Were you that wasted that you can't remember?
There was no foreplay in that.
No, I know. I don't know. That's what I'd want to know. But apparently somebody at the Huffington Post was like, how many movies has Christopher Walken danced in?
Mm-hmm.
And they did a nice montage, and Holly posted of all the dancing that he has done in 50 movies. And it kind of works as a little movie within a movie about Christopher Walken dancing in all the movies.
50, you said?
50.
That's wild.
Or appearances on TV or whatever. Yeah, he's a dancer.
He is.
And he dances apparently in a lot of movies because 50 is a lot.
50 is a lot. At first thought you said 15 and I sat here going, that's 50 is insane.
Yeah, so there you go. Take a look at that. That's your Friday, you know, dance inspiration.
What was the music video that was probably his most infamous one that he did, the whole music video going in and out of the elevators? Do you remember that, Rocco? I won't even.
What the song was.
Yeah. It was like.
Was that like Fatboy Slim or something?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Don't leave ever.
Good. Okay. Listen, when we come back, it's our stories we can't get enough of. Leave the door open, Bruno. That is a sexy song.
It is. Silk Sonic.
I'm ready for them to tour, but I forget he's opening back up in Vegas. His residency at the park is happening July 1st.
When are we going to get a second Silk Sonic song?
Who knows?
We need a whole album of this stuff.
Yeah, we do.
I will have to say this about this song. It feels weird to listen to it with people you're not having sex with, like right at this moment. I'm
really?
Hand check. Like, I just feel like it's such a hot song that is like,
For sure. Like me, I was driving around with my 9-year-old today and that song came on and we sang along together. And you're right, it's a little odd.
But don't pay attention to the lyrics.
Don't you dare,
just feel the groove.
Especially when he's like, if you smoke, I got the haze.
Yeah, right. I'm sure he's not even singing that part.
He doesn't get it. You know what I mean? He's been singing. I mean, we named our boy Bruno and then Bruno Mars kind of blew up
right
after we named him. I'm like, oh man. But so he's like Bruno Mars since he was tiny and he's been singing along to, you know, Locked Out of Heaven. In fact, as long as we're talking about songs that are kind of sexy, later today at 5 o'clock, we're going to do happy hour trivia about some of the sexier, dirtier songs of all time.
Oh.
And Locked Out of Heaven made a few lists, but it didn't make today's. But yeah, that's like been my, I remember him singing that when he was like 4. And then there was like that other one about, you know, making sweet love by the fireplace or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay.
But you don't really know what you're singing or, do you know what I mean?
No, but that one is sexy. Like that, leave the door open. Like I'm like, when we're like getting back into it, I'm like, and I'm like just showing my hands on video. Like this is what's happening. Nothing.
Have you watched that show Sweet Tooth at all?
No.
On Netflix. Rocco, did you watch anymore?
I'm through 4.
Okay. So the scene so Sweet Tooth is, it's like, I don't know if it's a Marvel comic or DC, but it's a comic.
Okay.
It's a dystopian world and this big sick came and the little hybrid children.
Yes.
And Gus is a little deer boy.
Yeah.
And it just sounds so crazy when you describe it.
It looks good.
You have to watch one episode and I think you'll be captured by it, but there is a scene, and this is not giving anything away, but Gus has been raised in the woods away from, because this very bad thing happened to the world and people went crazy and most people died. And, you know, and there's like masks and the, you know, virus, blah, 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 blah.
So they've
lived in the woods, and Gus, the first time he hears music and it's a Motown song, and he just starts dancing because like that is a thing, like music can just like make you just feel, and you just will just start moving, and it was so cute. And this kid who plays Gus is just a terrific actor, and he looks like Rocco's like kid Bruno. Yeah, if Bruno had deer ears and little antlers, that should be Bruno's Halloween costume.
Yeah, you're right. That would be good,
Rocco. That is a cute kid you have.
Yeah, I sent you guys a picture today because he wanted me to get him the BTS meal at McDonald's.
Oh, and I knew good. I'm so glad he's supporting the army.
Yeah, liked it's chicken nuggets with a Cajun sauce.
Ooh.
Which my wife and I were like, I'm not tasting Cajun here. But then it also comes with a sweet chili sauce.
Okay. Yeah. Well, funny that he wanted that. I love it.
Yes. And then does it come with any like BTS merch?
No, it doesn't. It's not like a BTS Happy Meal. You just get these sort of
specific
sauces that sort of, I think they have some Korean
influence.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Kim Jong Un is going crazy because the South Korean boy band of BTS is somehow getting into North Korea.
Well, yeah, I mean, on one of my stories on randoms is that Indonesia had to force a shutdown at McDonald's due to the high demand in this. So I'm very interested to know that there is no real BTS merch. It's just the food.
It's their, the influence on it. And of course, it's a wildly successful partnership because people are wanting it.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of something that people are wanting, Sarah Jessica Parker took to her Instagram today. And she tweeted a picture of a table read for the new series, and just like that, and everybody had, and just like that, and then their name tag, which is just such a great, pretentious, great thing, where everybody's going to sit at a table, and then she just wrote, nerves all a wonderful jumble, and then the cover page says, please note these scripts will be collected at the end of the table read.
Really?
Because they don't want anything getting out. This is day one of filming. Remember, each of the ladies are getting through $1 million an episode for 10 half-hour episodes.
It's a pretty cool photo. It's an epic paycheck.
Yeah, it's a cool photo. And, you know, when Julie and I were on set for... Now, it was season 4, episode 6, but... Baby Talk is Cheap was the name of the episode. And the prop master who was giving us the tour and is the one who called us and told us when we could come to Silver Cup Studios when they were going to do rehearsal for our nipple in the bar scene. And we're having, but she let me keep a script. And somehow or another, Newsweek got a hold of me a couple of weeks after I was there, you know, from other PR or whatever. And I was going to send them the script. I Sex and the City got wind of it, and then I got in trouble with HBO.
is like the most BA story ever, Lori. Like there are layers.
I don't know what I was thinking. Of course, you can't release it, but the Newsweek reporter was asking me, well, how do you think the nipples are going to be played out in the script? You know, this you're. You know, from what I can understand, you're like the first outside, and we were the only storyline that came outside of the writer's room.
Yeah.
They got gazillions of people writing to them having product placement ideas, you know, but anyway, and I said, I don't know, but I have the script, and I hadn't even really bothered to read it.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing, and they were like, oh, can you send it to us? And maybe I might have called it. I don't know. All I know is I got a stern letter from HBO.
That's like...
And then I felt bad that they weren't going to think fondly of the nipple chicks.
You'll be fine.
But I didn't sell it. I didn't sell it. I didn't give it to him. I didn't leak it to him. In fact, I still have it.
Some of the best things have come about you and Julia not following the rules. Well, we can acknowledge that.
Yes.
So if there's one little issue, snafu,
yeah, but there was a story about us in Newsweek.
Yeah, and more importantly, nothing bad happened.
Nothing bad.
You're known for getting hit on the wrist after you do something epic.
No,
so whatever. You're fine.
It is ask for forgiveness. Don't ask for permission. It can be a very good business philosophy, depending on the legality of what you're talking about.
Like, I have heard stories about from both of you about how somebody has been in the building interviewing with either another station or another thing, and you guys just went and grabbed that person. And that, is to me, is the most beautiful thing I've... I mean, so, like... If behaving badly is kind of your on brand for you.
Yeah, I know. But boy, when that email comes out that's company wide that says stop notice to everybody when one, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Joy and I knew we were the cause. We've been the cause of it every time they put out the warning.
Of course.
But now we haven't had people in the building. So hopefully, you know, when people start coming in the building, everyone will be more generous about sharing.
I think so. Well, and also you'll have, you know, when I can help too, I'm always wearing tennis shoes. So I can help steal people.
You can always run down. The only one I ever really chased through the building was Scott Eastwood.
Worth it. I mean, was it not?
He was 5'6", Brittany. 5'6".
You should meet your idols.
Apple boxes are one of his friends. Standing on one, or crates.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's check in with...
Julie is not here to hear her favorite song.
I know.
We declared Song of the Summer. She texted me.
No,
I can't. You guys, I gotta say it. No. Okay, can I just say what I think the Song of the Summer is gonna be?
What?
Lori is the one who made me listen to it. It's Good For You.
Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo.
Everybody knows every word. We're ready for it to be on a patio.
All right, listen, we are really delighted. A good friend of the show, Deb Cooper, introduced us to our next guest. Janessa Barr is joining us. And she started a rescue organization called Roatan Rescue. And I have to know, Janessa, did you go on vacation and... decide to do this? Is that correct?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me. Like, I am wigging out right now. Seriously.
But is that true?
If we never moved to Minnesota, we would never have learned about the island, gone on vacation, and I would not have had that, you know, that experience with the little girl and the animals, and it was such a feeling. I can't explain it.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to tell us, because I have gone on vacations and I have seen things that, you know, have moved me, but I've not ever done anything about it other than, you know, give somebody some money or some clothes or some, I'm just in awe that this changed your life to start this. So tell us what happened.
How long do we have?
Well, give us the short. Give us the cocktail party version.
All right. My husband and I got married later in life. We bought a big house because moving sucked. And then a year later, God moved us to Minnesota. And then we learned about not having to be so close to our family. He hadn't traveled before. I started missionary work when I was 15. We started traveling, and his eyes just kind of opened up. And what I thought we had planned for our life, God just kind of took and laughed at and threw in the trash. We learned about Roatan, went down. I was spending my entire vacation loading up the rental car with just hundreds of pounds of dog food. Everyone thought I was crazy. I kind of am, in a good way. And I was out pushing a wheelbarrow full of food, and this little girl comes up and grabs my hand and goes, "Will you come with me and feed my dog?" And I was like, "Absolutely," because I've been a nanny for 10 years. I'm a big brother, big sister. She's 22, and I started when she was 5. I was always focused on being the hands and feet of Christ and teaching the little children about where they live, what they live around, the animals, so we could actually change the cycle and not put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole.
Okay, so Janessa, Roatan, is that an island off of Honduras?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so did you, like, were you there on a vacation?
Yeah.
And that's when
the girl grabbed my hand.
And did you
didn't even have a dog.
And did you notice that there were, like, a lot of dogs or whatever that seemed to be not have homes?
It was horrible. Ugh. The streets were just lined with skeletons.
Ugh.
That's why I spent my entire vacation. My heart just sank. The kids are home alone. Both parents work. And they're just starved for attention. and I wanted to be positive attention. And the little girl was like, I don't even have a dog. I just want to go with you.
Yeah.
Aww. So I spent my vacation feeding dogs, pushing a wheelbarrow, and teaching the kids about the animals. Very basic, right?
Right, but still, I mean, there obviously had not been a dog shelter on the island.
There were other dog rescue groups.
Okay.
It's kind of very two things. You either do children's ministry or animal
okay.
rescue. There wasn't that combo.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to join forces. I tried to be a team. I tried that just wasn't in God's cards. I'll say that.
So, Janessa, this is Brittany.
Yeah.
We have a common friend. I heard that you met with the founder of Rachel from Secondhand Hounds recently.
Who is that?
But it's a Secondhand Hounds.
Kind of a big deal. I was teasing.
Oh, I was like, I know. And so I had this nerdy moment where I was like, could me and Janessa be friends? I'm working on it.
Well, were you at the bite of the event on Saturday?
No, because Rachel get this, Janessa. Rachel swindled me into taking this pregnant foster dog, and so now I'm feeding 8 dogs in my basement at the moment. But
You know better, Brittany.
I know. But she showed up to my house, same thing. You could just see her rib cage, and she had 7 puppies in her, which was just wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to know, the big thing is, what I love your story. It's awesome. What do I do to help? I know I'd love to come with you. Is there any way, like, people, our listeners, or myself, how can we get involved? How can we get the good feels?
I absolutely hate that it's down to funding, but we're 100% donations.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
can do every single thing we can. We have 500 rescues, horses caught in barbed wire, chickens that were being stoned. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but we have 25 full-time employees. Single moms can feed their families. There's no jobs because of the tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Every single dollar, every dollar, we can do everything we do, which is crazy. We have 2 full-time vets on staff. You know how much that stuff costs.
Oh, yeah.
We can do all of it, 100 spay and neuters for $35,000 a month. It's ridiculous. But we're always short, and the pandemic has made it even worse. So we're just trying to... Yeah, spread the word. The more eyes that see, the more hands that help.
Where do we go? Is Facebook? Is that what you have? What's your preferred?
Our best way is roatanrescue.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are on Facebook. You can donate there.
Yeah.
And on Instagram, Venmo. Okay.
And how long have you been doing this?
And pray.
Yeah.
Pray for us. Almost 3 years in December.
Okay.
And it's amazing, you guys. It really is. And there's a part of the world where we can make a real difference, and that's a treasure.
Yeah.
And so is you only when it comes to take any actual donations, or is it getting down there too hard? Like, do you take any food donations, blankets?
Oh, no.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, Lord, no. Yes, please. We just shipped down about a ton of medical supplies. We raise money for the shipping. People come and take tours. We have a huge 1 acre. You can wash them, take them to the ocean. You can mail stuff with our wish list is on Amazon. Oh, my gosh. Yes, please.
We need
crates. We need crates so bad. We can't get building materials on the island. And we are just, we had another hit and run come in yesterday. We're overflowing.
Yeah.
But we can't turn them away.
I did hear that, like, that people can't get pallets and wood and, like, all this kind of stuff. You don't even really think about that.
Yeah, if the boats don't bring it, you don't get it. And
yeah.
If the mainland is still recovering from the hurricane, so we're bringing things in from Guatemala. And it's hard. It's,
yeah.
And we don't have water.
Uh-huh.
We got the water cut off. Like, it's always something. And you're just like, okay, Lord, let's do this.
So if I was going to follow then somewhere, you know, because I love the idea of, you know, getting to see this in action, where would be the best place? Would you post a lot on your Insta?
I post a lot on Facebook and Insta.
Yeah, girl.
You can text me. I'm learning how to do YouTube.
Oh.
I have no idea how to use TikTok. Kids, stop inventing apps, please.
Right.
You should just find a kid to help you out with that. Like,
Isn't Insta enough? Come on, Brittany.
And the stories.
I know.
Oh, you guys get it.
We get it. Yes, absolutely. Janessa, yeah. What you're doing is just amazing. I've already looked at it. It's only about $500 to fly down to Roatan. So I'm like,
Sun Country starts in December. $411 round trip.
A part of me is like, I'm going. I'm going to come see you there.
It's pretty there.
Yes, I already
looked. It's gorgeous. Yeah. White sandy beaches. It's like Bali on the east side.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And it's off the beaten track. But if Sun Country flies in there, there's enough nice places and stuff to stay. So you can be sure.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And our parents flew in on Sun Country on Christmas Day last year. We loved this flight from Minneapolis.
Oh, I mean, think about what a pain in the butt it would be to get there.
I'm coming. That's it.
Yeah.
I lived there for 3 years. It's usually a 2-day trip to get there. I am so jealous.
You know what? And also, I'm going to bring a couple dogs home, so just keep that in mind.
Just a couple?
I know.
If you adopt one cat, you get 10 for like their comfort support. We have a lot of deals.
It's like the Costco's of animals. I love it. I'll take it all. Thank you so much, Janessa. Thanks, Janessa. Is so inspiring. How awesome.
You guys are amazing. You've made my day. Thank you. I'm geeking out.
Thank you so much. That's Roatan Rescue, you guys. That's Roatan, Janessa Barr. All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to go from the deep to the shallow, you guys.
Love.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday, June 11th. So last night was the Kardashians' final episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And DVR'd it. Haven't watched it yet. Okay. How about you?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I'm actually like a couple behind.
Are you?
These narratives have been contrived on a level. Yeah.
They did it. It was all filmed during COVID and it's just been lamer. But some of it has been okay, but it reminded me of why I quit watching it in the first place.
Yeah. Exactly. No, spot on. And I feel I'm going to see it through.
Yeah.
But I've been not like, it's not the first thing I jumped to.
No, not like Housewives.
Not like Housewives.
Yeah. But, you know, when it is kind of, there have been a lot of stories this week, and I'm sure that Kim and her mom and maybe the sisters have been super annoyed that Kanye managed to, you know, hijack the headlines from them with his new romance.
Yeah.
And his birthday. And then they wished him a happy birthday. And Kim says, love you for life. And Khloe says, you're my brother for life. And then he unfollows everybody.
Unfollows them.
And unveils the new girlfriend. Yeah. And it's just like, well, I know those gals are sisters, and maybe that wasn't the most sincere of thing when they're calling him brothers. I know this from having two sisters, stepsisters. When people get divorced, you take your sister's side.
You ride or die it.
Right.
Yeah, there's no...
Bye-bye, ex-husband. But doesn't mean you have to be mean or whatever to him. But I don't think you need to go out there with brother for life.
No, that's wild. I mean, even my best friend, I remember when she broke up with her boyfriend and she was like, unfollow him. And I said, I already did. Hello. Yeah, absolutely.
So they were probably kind of annoyed because they had been wanting to... You know, the finales, and people have been just, it's not been huge viewership numbers, but people are recording it or watching it. Maybe they're going to watch it with friends. And some people are genuinely, they've stuck with them this whole time.
Absolutely.
You know, because you do get I genuinely get a kick out of the mom, Kris Jenner's mom.
Yeah.
I like to see her. I'm always fascinated when I see Kylie because I would have dearly loved to have seen what her 10-year-old face would have looked like at 21. You know?
I know, exactly.
Because she looks nothing
When
you're 21, you can still see your 10-year-old face.
Yeah. And you can at all. My favorite things about when I would watch the Kardashians is actually just seeing
their sisters.
Yeah, their sisters. And then, like, you know, it's fun to watch them do photo shoots and get dressed
the glam
up.
Thing,
yeah, the glam.
Yes.
This season, there was a lot of, like, I remember watching
a lot of sitting around talking about crap and too much Tristan and too much Scott.
I was just going to say that with Khloe and them looking for aliens and with Tristan. And I was just like, it's hard. I know that Scott is likable, but he has done so many disgusting things that I can't get there. I've tried. And I know people are like, he's funny and he says this and that.
It's
watching
weird.
Him put money in that waiter's mouth, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
That was so disgusting.
Yeah. Well, that's why Courtney isn't with him.
I know. She's
well, here,
smart.
I mean, Good Morning America felt compelled enough. They had Chris Conley. They did a whole thing, and ABC is not, you know, the Today Show didn't cover it, and Kardashians are going to Hulu, which that's NBC. So I was kind of impressed that ABC was recognizing everything that happened with Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So here's Chris Conley.
You know, not many TV series can say they reconfigured the rules of pop culture. But last night's final episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians was less the end of an era and more a victory lap for a family that put new forms of media to work for them and built a billion-dollar brand.
I just want total happiness.
From the adventures of Kim Kardashian, every bit the emblem of her era. The machinations of momager and drama mama Kris Jenner.
I've tried to do everything I can to make everybody happy.
And the siblings and suitors whose turbulent lives offered storylines aplenty.
Auntie Kris, it's me. It's Todd Cranes.
Ending its season 20 with a hot tubbing trip to Tahoe, a time capsule, and a game of charades. Keeping Up with the Kardashians served up a sleek joyride for millions who began as viewers and became consumers. As this family seized the power of celebrity from the media, took it for themselves, and monetized it.
They're definitely laughing all the way to the bank.
And they really, I mean, you know, that is so true if you think about it. And let's go ahead and play the next one, Rocco.
The Kardashians opened a door that had been slammed shut by actors and other celebrities. Instead of locking the public out, they would invite the public in.
Their vulnerability also added to their relatability, and people could really see themselves in them.
Sisterly rivalry, sure, but also support for one another's differences, especially in times of crisis.
Like, I can't.
Those moments made this Calabasas clan relatable, but the series' appeal was wildly aspirational, every episode teeming with this family's hyperluxe lifestyle. These young women countering the fashion industry's restrictive notions of glamour.
They really have done quite a lot for women and for the definition of beauty and for self-acceptance and for showing that there are so many different types of beauty.
Oh. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. That's the gal. She's from like Page Six.
Yeah.
And I can't think of what her name is. I don't, you know, I mean... we'll just play the next Chris Conley.
Yeah, because that's an interesting comment right there. Uh-huh.
Most of all, Kris Jenner, understanding that thanks to reality TV and social media, her family could market directly to their millions of fans.
Well, at the time that she started this show, Kris Jenner simply thought that it would be a promotional platform for her clothing stores. And as time went on, Kris Jenner realized that the stores weren't the product, that her own family was the product.
If anyone created the so-called influencer, they did. From product endorsements, Twitter mentions, red carpet appearances, fashion lines, skincare. The result turned members of this family not into just celebrities, but into billion-dollar brands. So even as their series passes from the scene, their massive influence isn't about to go away anytime soon.
Here's a toast to our final episode. I love you guys so much. And here's to an amazing chapter in our lives.
Might have begun as a punchline, but it leaves as a powerhouse. The Kardashians rewriting the pop culture playbook, turning famous for being famous into big business, while entertaining so many viewers in the process.
Great report, Kris Conley, I thought. So you know, really, because that is what they did.
Absolutely. It sure makes you reflect on what a unique aspect they had and what a unique time. It was right before the big influx in social media, and you kind of forget that, right? There's so many influencers now.
Yeah.
And the idea that everyone in their family was on board, which is like, if you think about just taking everyday family, the idea that all of them wanted that.
Yeah, and they were like, whatever, 9 to 23 or whatever the ages were, you know. And
I
kind of just like it. I was like, yeah, you know. And Julia always, you know, really is always in awe of what it, particularly Kim Kardashian, even though Kris Jenner is the brains and the devil behind all the details. But at
Kim is a workhorse.
But the money.
Yeah, I think the thing is like Kim is a workhorse. She will keep going.
Self-made.
Yeah, like she will keep going. Yeah. She will keep going. But she wasn't by no means ever the brains behind the big picture.
Yeah.
And it turns out Chris kind of wasn't either in the sense that she is now. But when she was originally using it for marketing her clothing line, that's so interesting. But then to be able to pivot that hard and see what that is amazing. And you know, they made that comment too about the accepting of or changing the standard of beauty and accepting. It's like, I feel like
no,
there was a lack of acceptance of their own beauty that I think is.
And then they started doing things. And then I would say they also were very good at co-opting other standards of beauty from other people and trying to make it be their own. Like they came up with it. And so, no, the one thing I hope like their kids are not. You know, going to feel like, I mean, because it's really, I'm Chloe is shocking. Her face is as shocking to me as Madonna's face is shocking to me.
Absolutely.
And also Kylie. Yeah. And I think that's why she doesn't like being on camera. But you, when you're 21, if you look at a picture of yourself at 21 and you look at a picture of yourself when you were 11 or 12, you still see that face.
Absolutely.
And you still have the roundness to your, you see all of it. And her face is completely different. And so like that, I don't know, for me personally, it makes me sad for her that she
looked
in the mirror and didn't see like what a little cutie pie she was.
And I think about that too with Chloe and Kendall are, that's so sad to me. They have everything, but yet they live in a day-to-day of hating themselves. Like,
but maybe this makes them happy. I mean, I've been in awe of Chloe's nails since that show started on air. I give it to her for the nail game, but I don't know how she does it.
That's amazing.
All right. Listen, Brittany, thank you for being here. We'll be back.